Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe.
Would you please to welcome Minister Robert Rivera to the stage today.
Wow, that made me feel special. I got my hanky ready, so, you know, you better grab some. What an honor and what a privilege it is to be here in the house of God with my brothers and sisters. I want to thank Pastor Josh and Pastor Corinne for the opportunity to minister today, and it's an honor also for me to speak before my spiritual dad, Apostle Swilly, and my spiritual mama, Prophet Deborah. I honor you today for your lives and what you have done in the world and what God continues to do through you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you and I honor you today for the opportunity to bring this word. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that it is you who will speak today. In your name, Lord Jesus, I break chains. In your name, Lord Jesus, I set the captives free. In your name, Lord Jesus, dreams come alive today again. I thank you, Father, because you're good and you will do according to your very will in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give you a greeting from Joycey, who happens not to be here. She wants to send her regards. She's on a mission from God. Have you seen Blues Brothers? Yes, yes. You know, God and I have an understanding, you know. I'm on a mission from God. That's Joycey. She's in Bethel this morning, in fact, in Redding, California. On a mission from God. So she'll bring back a report. And I'm sporting today my bling also in honor for her, you know, because my wife is a bling lady. And this is the first time I publicly wear this massive thing that one of my spiritual daughters gave us when we went to Honduras. And so anyhow, it means something. So, but it means some more to me. So anyhow, I prepared some notes and I prayed, obviously, and I meditated. But is it okay if I share with you from my heart? Yes. Is that okay? Yes. This journey in which God has brought me through has cost me a lot. Yes. And I want to save you a couple of steps. So if that's okay, then I want to share from my heart. The topic is unshakable heart. And there's a couple of scriptures that kind of seem contradictory. I'm going to read those, and then we go from there. Proverbs 4:23 in the New Living Translation says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." This is above everything. Guard your heart over your calling, over your job, over any other thing. Guard your heart because it determines the course of your life. And yet Jeremiah 17:9 tells us, this is in the NIV, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" How many of you have hopes and dreams that you still want to see come true? Yes, that should be everybody, I hope. And perhaps some of your dreams have died along the way. I pray in the name of Jesus they come alive today, because I want to share with you why God gave you that vision. Why God gave you that dream. God put something in you, whether you were in the church or outside of the church. Every person on the earth comes here with a mission. That's why I say we're on a mission from God. We all are here on a mission. He's giving us gifts. He's giving us talents. He's giving us callings to everybody. And sometimes along the journey, we trip up. You know, I definitely tripped up. You know, I've done some really stupid things in my life. And we lose our way. And sometimes we let those dreams die thinking that that's never going to come to pass, and we don't understand the purpose of it. If the heart is deceitful above all things, right, wicked, as another version says, but yet it determines the course of our heart, how can we develop an unshakable heart? How can we develop a heart that is unmoved by what happens in our lives? And what I have discovered along the way is that a heart needs to be processed, you know. God gives us a vision. That vision that you receive is from God. I will submit to you that desire that you have is godly. It is something that God wants you to have. But there's a process that he has to take you through in order to be the person who can possess it. You know, it turns out that the person who receives the vision is not the person who can possess it. And you're going to find this through all of Scripture. Through all the people in the Bible, you'll see over and over how he gave the vision to one, right? But then it was that person after the transformation that they were able then to possess it. You know, why did God tell Abram, leave your family and go to where I'm going to send you? Could he not made him a great nation there where he was? He's God. He can do anything, right? So why did he say, pick up your stuff and go? Because in the journey, he was going to process him, right? He was going to create in him something that he wasn't. He called him a father of nations when he didn't have any children. So how was he going to be that, you know, if it wasn't a process that was he's going to go through? I want to submit to you that the process that God wants to put you through is for your good. God's intent for your life is to do you good. And I know that many of you are weary and tired from the journey. You know, many of you are wounded from the battles that you have walked through. And I've been there too. You know, suffering under the, I got to do this, I got to do this. Especially if you have children, a wife, children. If you have a spouse, if you have anybody you care about, you know, anybody that you're protecting. Man, it puts a burden on you. I was talking to Neri earlier. He's had a baby girl, Melody, right? Yay! Brand new baby girl. I remember watching Isabella dance, and as I was watching her dance, all of a sudden I heard that voice that said to me, it's not about you anymore, Robert. And I'm like, oh, I better grow up. I was 30 years old. I better grow up. You know, I mean, it just kind of gave me a fire. All of a sudden I had a fire. I got to protect this girl. You know, I got to make sure I secure her future, you know. So God gives you these things and puts them in front of you and says, come on, let's go on a journey. Walk with me, right? Now, I want to submit to you also that this is how God answers prayers. It's kind of funny, but we'll stand there, right? We'll pray, and thank you, Lord, for this vision you're giving me, and we go for it, right? And we pray, and we fast, and we go after it, and then God answers that prayer in somebody else's life, right? And he's watching us. How are you going to react to that, you know? He promotes the guy on your cubicle next to you who has less seniority than you, does less work. It's a lazy bum, you know. He gets a promotion, and you're sitting over here. Hey, I come in early, and I leave late, and I work hard, and the Lord is watching. How are you going to react? Now, I used to think, based on my Pentecostal background, that God was watching me to chastise me because, you know, that's kind of like the old school Pentecostal where we grew up that God was with his finger watching us like this all the time, you know. It turns out that's not the case. He's watching, carefully watching, because he wants to lead you to a good end, okay? We know from Scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 8, remember how the Lord led you, this is an interesting word, all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble you. This is God speaking to Israel as they're getting ready to walk into the promised land. To humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart. And I thought, weren't they in the desert because they were disobedient? Weren't they wandering in the desert aimlessly? No. They were being led. Yeah, they were being disciplined. They were being chastised in a way, but they were also being led. Didn't the Lord give them manna? In the desert, water from the rock. Doesn't the scripture tells us that their clothes did not wear out? Their sandals did not wear out? Their feet didn't swell? In fact, it tells another verse, the scripture tells us that there were not one feeble among them. You know, so the Lord was taking care of them along the way. But he was processing them to find out what was in their heart. And verse 5 says, know then in your heart, that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord disciplines you. Verse 16, so that in the end, it will go well with you. So God's intent all along is to do us good. But, you know, in our process, it's difficult sometimes. He allows people to betray us, to lie about us, to speak ill about us, and he's watching. How are you going to handle this? How are you reacting to this? And he is recording everything that's going on and all along leading you from this encounter to this encounter, from this challenge to this challenge, to from this blessing. Sometimes the test is a blessing. Okay, so I just promoted you. How are you going to handle that? You know, sometimes, I can't remember who was it that said it, but they said, if you want to really test a person, praise them. Right? You want to test them? Want to find out how they really are? Praise them. You know? So sometimes the blessing of the Lord comes, and the Lord is for a season and watches you, and then he takes it away and watches you, right? To see how you respond. There are dreams that God has placed inside of you that you let go of along the way because they became too hard, or because you were tripped, because you were hurt along the way. I want to submit to you to pick it up again, because it's not about the destination. It's about who you become as you go on your way. It's who you are becoming that he's interested in. As much as God wants to give you that thing that you desire, and he does, he wants you to have it. It is more important for him who you become along the way. Okay? So he's testing you. He's testing your heart. He's poking. He's probing. You know that word there. In fact, let me see. Where is that? Is it here? Let me see. Shakar. Where is this Shakar? There it is. In Jeremiah 17:10 says, I, the Lord, search. That word search there in Hebrew is Shakar, to probe deeply the heart, and I examine the mind. I test the mind, in the ESV it says, to reward each person according to the conduct and according to their deeds, as their deeds, whatever their deeds deserve. He is constantly searching. The Spirit of God searches all around the world, wherever he put that vision, wherever he put that dream, wherever he put that desire, he's searching to see the hearts of us and how we respond to the challenges. It really doesn't matter what has happened to us. And I'm sorry, I know that some of us have suffered some really ugly things. Right. I suffered very bad abuse when I was young. Many of you suffered that too. Many of you have suffered from verbal abuse, sexual abuse. Your parents, uncles, teachers, perhaps even clergy has hurt you. Carefully, I want to say, it doesn't matter. What matters is how we respond. What matters is how do we go from here? It's not that God doesn't care. He cares very deeply. You know, he hurts when we hurt. You know, the scripture says that he is wounded with the sufferings of his people. You know, he feels it. So it's not that he doesn't care. It's who are we becoming? Who are we in this process? And I want to submit to you that I had several principles that I want to talk about, but I collapsed it all into just three things. One is the heart must be tested. An unshakable heart has to be tested. Okay? Because, again, otherwise, left to its devices, it is wicked. And it will lead us into things. I mean, we all seek the path of least resistance, don't we? You know, whatever's most pleasurable, whatever feels great, whatever, you know, as I've heard so many people growing up, you know, do whatever feels good. Well, you know, feels good doesn't always turn out great. You know, we kind of can get lost along the way. Okay, so the heart must be tested. And second, the heart must be surrendered. An unshakable heart must be surrendered. This is the posture. This is the only thing that we can do with the vision that we have that God has given us, is to here I am, Lord. What would you have me do? Here I am. And here's the thing. There are seasons where he would leave us just right here. There are seasons where he just stay right there. Just stay there. Yeah. There's an area in my life that I'm exactly there still. 14 years into it, I'm still there. I'm still waiting. Because I saw him and he gave me a vision. And when I knelt before him, he smiled at me. I knew he was pleased. But he went further into my heart and left me there. And I'm still there waiting for him to come back. And my job as his son is to stay there. And to serve and love the people around me in the meantime. There are things that God has placed in your heart so important to you because it has to do with your children, right? Or it has to do with your parent. Or it has to do with even your own body. It may be broken. It may need healing. There are things in our past that are holding back that thing from coming in, you know? And it's difficult at times to find those things. You know, I've traveled with dad and mom many places around the Hispanic world, and everywhere people are the same. They all have hopes, they all have dreams, they all have desires from God. You know, they strive, they work, they try. You know, they do their very best. And then the last 10 years, 11 years or so, I've been working with Joe Naughton, and I've become kind of an expert when it comes to the heart, you know, of how deceitful it is, how deep it is. You know, when the scripture says, deep calls to deep, you know, he created you from his spirit. Right. You are like him. His depth is unfathomable. The Holy Spirit, it says that he searches the depth of God, and also he searches your depth. It's deep and wide, right? It's so deep. Why does the scripture tell us that God tests us to see what is in our heart? It appears to me that there are some things he chooses not to know. He wants to discover. He wants us to open our heart to him. He wants us to become available to him in whatever situation it is in our lives. And so the unshakable heart must be surrendered. That means repentant. That means contrite. That means broken. And that brokenness sometimes can weigh very heavily. I want to encourage the young people, if you are ever in trouble, run to God. If you're ever scared and you don't know what to do, you know you've messed up. You know you messed up. You make a big boo-boo. I did one of those. Man, I did one of those in college. It completely messed up my life. The mercy of God came to me when I surrendered. I was fighting it. I was fighting it. I was in a bad situation. I was hiding my sin. I didn't want to be discovered. I wanted to keep what I was doing. And I was scared and afraid and intimidated. And when the word of the Lord came to me and I realized I got to surrender, and I did, all of my confidence came back. Because I'd known I'm back on the path. Right. Yes, I'm going to be disciplined. Yes, I'm going to lose some things along the way. Yeah, it's going to happen, you know. You know, it's the consequences of my actions. It's going to happen. But I'm back on the path. I'm back on the blessing. The hand of God is on me again, as the hand of God is on you, even in your mess. Whatever situation you happen to find yourself in. This is the first thing that any person should do when they find themselves in trouble. Psalm 51:1. Have mercy upon me, O God. According to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Have mercy on me, Lord. For you do not desire sacrifice. This is verse 16. Or else I would give it. Even back then, David knew. It's not sacrifices that God wants. He doesn't want us to be giving up things because we think that somehow we're going to gain favor. No. He wants our heart. He wants our surrendered heart. He wants the posture of our heart to be soft towards him, that we may then be blessed and be loved by him, like he wants to love us. The sacrifices of God, David goes on to say, are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. And one of those steps in surrendering our heart is forgiveness. Right. Forgiving those people who hurt us. That can be hard. You know, I've been counseling this young lady who is stuck in a relationship that has already broken up. He already left. He's been gone for a while. She's still stuck in this relationship, right? And as I was digging at this, I realized this has nothing to do with him. This is about her father who left her when she was a little girl. You know, he abandoned her. And I called her by name, and I said, you know, this is about your dad, right? She started weeping. Are you ready to forgive him? No, I'm not. Okay. Well, let me pray for you, and then when you're ready, I'll be here. I'll help you. You know, until we surrender, nothing's going to happen. And she's going to keep that cycle over and over, whether it was this guy or the next guy, or the next guy, or the next guy. That was me with girls, with women. That was me, you know, because I thought that that brought me significance. You know, I was hurt. I was looking for validation, and that was my thing. When I finally took the step to forgive my dad, man, that was difficult. And again, it's who we become in on the process. The Lord told me, confront your dad about the abuse. So I called my dad, sat him down, we talked, and I said, hey, when you did this, this really messed me up. And then we prayed. He said, I'm sorry, and he asked for forgiveness. And when we prayed, and I know not everybody gets that opportunity, so I'm blessed because of that. But I prayed, and he was instantly healed. Wow. He had the demonic thing that had been on him since he was a kid, and boom, it left him in that moment. He was healed and delivered. I'm still stuck. I'm still in pain. And I was like, Lord, what? I did what you asked me to do, and doesn't that deserve a blessing? Again, right? He examines our hearts, right? Doesn't that deserve? I did what you asked me to do. Don't I deserve to be blessed, to be healed, to be get this off of me? He was silent, you know? And it took a little longer along the journey for me to understand and finally release my dad, really. Release him. And I know I release him because the triggers I used to have don't have them anymore. Right? And by the way, well, don't clap for me. Clap for you, because if you understand what that means, then the things that used to trip you up before, you look at them and, wow, that used to trip me up. And you can look at it and say, wow, that would hurt back then. Yep. You know? The world will say to you that there are some things that God that you cannot overcome. It will say to you that there are some things that you will be in pain forever. That's not what the Word of God says. Okay? The Word of God says he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Right? That he's near the brokenhearted, and another scripture tells us. He's near. He's close. You know? He embraces you. He holds you. I see myself whenever I'm in pain like that. There have been moments I see myself in the arms of the Father. And I pray you do see him. I pray that now in your mind's eye you can see him. He's holding you. He's looking at you. You're looking at him. As he's looking at you, the brightness of his countenance is on you. And you start bright. You start becoming bright. And it starts cleaning you from the inside out. In Jesus' name. So that nothing will hinder your path. Finally, and I'm leaving a lot in between there. I do want to read this scripture. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is close to the broken heart and saves those who are crushed in spirit. You know that that word save there is the root word for Yeshua? It's amazing. The meaning is to rescue, to deliver, to bring into a wide, safe place, to remove from danger, oppression, or distress, to grant relief that results in freedom and restoration. It does not merely mean emotional comfort only, encouragement without change, spiritual reassurance without intervention. It means real deliverance, total and complete. Okay, in Hebrew, the thought Joshua, being pulled out of confinement, removed from crushing pressure, being set free into a space where you can breathe again. Some of you have been holding your breaths for years. Stuck in the pain of what was done to you, of your own misstep and the consequences of it. And you're still holding your breath because you're still waiting for the other shoe to drop. But let me give you a word from the Lord. He loves you. He's with you. He's never abandoned you. He's never left you alone. And even now, if we surrender our hearts, he will heal us. Hebrews 7:25, it says, consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost, that's basically the same concept, those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. That word save there is completely, fully, to the very end, lacking nothing, without remainder, nothing lacking. The last principle is, that the unshakable heart must be transformed. You cannot remain the same to possess the dream that God has given you. Abram received the promise, but it was Abraham who possessed it. Jacob desired the blessing, but it was Israel who got it. Okay? It was a sheep herder, Moses, right, who desired to be important, but it was a nation deliverer who brought the people out of Egypt. It was a fisherman, Peter, right, who wanted significance, and it was an evangelist, though, who started the church. It was a murderer, Paul, who became apostle to the nations and saved all those people. It was a man, a carpenter, who went up a hill to be crucified, but it was the Lord of glory who came out of the tomb. Okay? He was processed. The scripture tells us that through suffering, he learned obedience. This is Jesus, our master, our example. And he's telling us, follow me. And we will end up in the same great place. Resurrected, revived, alive, being able to bring life not just in our own circumstances, but to the circumstances of the people around us. The dream that God put inside of you, he put inside of you to process you. He put inside of you to grow you. He put inside of you to bless you. He is bringing you to the full stature of Christ. It's not a small thing. Okay? He's not forgotten you. It's not too late. It never is too late with God. Especially when we remember that it's about the process. It's not about getting there. I've been so preoccupied most of my life trying to get there. I want to get there. When do I get there? When do I get the trophy? Right? Because again, it's the same thing with my whole life. Is when do I get the trophy so I can show I matter. I'm important. And Jesus is saying, you are important. I died for you. You matter. You're my brother. You're my sister. You matter. You're part of the bride. I built a foundation with you of something that is eternal. So don't be dismayed with the process. Don't be dismayed with wherever you find yourself to be today. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you that you love us, that you have not abandoned us even in our process. As you sit there with your eyes closed and you're meditating on the Lord, if the Lord spoke to you and you know that there are unsurrendered areas of your heart, if you know that there's areas inside of you that still require the bending of the knee, if you know that the process has been heavy and you're tired, you need healing, would you raise your hand and let me know that I can pray for you? I see your hand. If you know that God has called you for something great and you don't know how to do it, but you know you're supposed to and you are in the pursuit, would you also raise your hand so that I may know that and I can pray for you? Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for your people, the obedience of your people, the surrendered hearts. I thank you, Father, because you're doing an awesome work. What you are doing is amazing. The jewels that they're becoming, the crowns that you are building for them, they're glorious and beautiful. I speak life to you now in the name of Jesus, and I command every bondage to be broken off of your heart in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus and by the authority of the Lord, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus, whatever demonic activity has been active in your life, preventing you from moving forward, in the name of Jesus, is removed now in Jesus' name. I bless you for your obedience. I bless you for your surrendered heart. And I speak a blessing over you and the entire house, that the Lord continue to process us, that we may become fully what he envisions us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.